Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
For many parents and children, summer camps can be the highlight of a child's summer, making new friends, learning new skills, all wonderful. But for others, it can be a deep dive into their pockets and a race against the clock to get a place in the camp. So how do parents feel about summer camps? What are the best ones? Are they worth it? Well, we have editor of Cork BO and parent Joe O'Shea on the line. Joe, you have your daughter booked into various camps?
Yeah, we do. It's something, obviously, that practically every family in Ireland does every summer. Our daughter enjoys them, but she's pretty picky or getting pickier. She's 10 years, she's going to be 10 in August, and she's starting to kind of get a bit independent and has asked us, actually, one of the camps that she's going to is basically a fashion camp where she's going to learn about making clothes, sewing, designing outfits, accessories, all that kind of stuff that she's really, really interested in. And then she's got another one with all of her mates, because one of the big issues that parents always have is making sure that their friends are doing the same camp.
Mm.
That's a big, big, big deal. And she really wants to make sure. So she's going to our GAA club in Cork, Nemo Rangers. They're doing a big camp. And it's absolutely, she did last year, loved it. The GAA camps are really, really popular. Usually very, very oversubscribed, but they're great fun, especially if the weather's great.
Of course, and they're really well organised as well. But you do need to be very organised to get your place on them, as you say. The fashion camp, I mean, 10-year-old would just have loved that. So different as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing. I mean, if parents have the time, and I know it's tough, but if they have the time to look around, it's not just cool camps. It's not just GAA. It's not just sports. There's loads of different stuff happening. You know, the Glucksman in Cork does fantastic summer camps for kids on art classes and, you know, drawing and creating and all that kind of stuff. So our daughter's also going to do one of those. We've only stopped at the three camps this year. But we know people have kids doing, like, going from one camp to another, you know, over the course of 6 weeks.
Because it's like a childcare facility in a way, as in they need to fill those gaps.
You need, because it's a big, big, you know, it's a long way from the end of June to the end of August, you know. And with the best school in the world, kids, either, I mean, when I was a kid, it was like, get out of the house to entertain yourself and come back in 6 hours, you know, and that was it.
Come home for your lunch and your dinner and you'll be grand.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Or else go into somebody else's house and get a sandwich there, you know. You can't do that these days for a whole load of reasons. So parents have to rely on the camps, but they're pricey. You know, I mean, if you're doing six camps or five camps, you're looking at, 750, 800 euros?
Yeah.
And that's quite a kick. Plus, you got to remember as well, most camps will only take kids for like 3.5-4 hours, and they'll start at 10 and finish at 2 or along those lines. So you still, even though you are paying for childcare effectively, you still have to make arrangements where you can drop off and pick up. And that can be a real strain on people as
well. Yeah, I agree. And sometimes I think the mainstream, really popular ones can be kind of affordable enough and you get a good long day out of it. And then there's more niche ones, I think, that the price can almost stop you in your tracks when you realise how expensive. And it might be only 2 hours, for example. I'm joined by parenting podcaster and mother of two, Rebecca Horan. Rebecca, have you got your summer camp sorted?
I do. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
And I do it well in advance because I always get caught and I can't get my children onto things. So I make sure now I'm very organized. And I think that is the case if you're working parents nowadays and you're not off. Like, we forget, not everyone can be off or has a village or community to help with your kids. You need these camps. They're actually incredibly useful. But I do think I've learned that less is more, that trying to do too many, like Joe said, or trying to fill the whole summer can actually be stressful and tiring for the kids. And so expensive. So we try and kind of filter them out, but therefore you have to make, you know, other kind of plans and logistics. And it's a lot. I think it's a lot of pressure on children and parents.
It's a lot of pressure on parents as well, Rebecca, when you think about cost of living crisis. You know, this is quite the luxury for a lot of families to be able to fork out.
It is the luxury. And I have a 4-year-old, Anna, so she's not that comfortable going in. Like, she's very little. She's in junior infants. She's not yet 5. And she's been put from 9 to 12. There's these 3-hour camps you can do that are kind of sporty. Obviously, she can't go to a regular camp for a full day. There's a lot behind that. Will she be okay? The social interaction, lunch, going to the toilet. But then 12 o'clock comes, that is not, as you know, a full work day for many parents. So yes, it is a luxury. However, we're not in a situation in this country at the moment where two parents, like most people, are on dual incomes and have to work. And the summer is just not a free for all where they've 8 weeks off, unless you've got leave or you've, you know, organized something or you're flexi working. But it's much like Christmas. Unless you have those, that time off, it can be very long and very hard. And there are people, as a result, who are kind of forced out of their jobs, because when the summer comes, Anna, it can be very, very overwhelming for a family and cause a lot of anxiety. Like, who's going to collect if you don't have family in a country? If you're from somewhere else, you don't have that village to do all the collections and drop-offs. You're working from home a lot. That can cause issues within your, you know, company. Like, why are you not in the office? Well, I have to go and get my kid. If you're at home, it can be perceived that you're not working. And yes, it is expensive. And there are very regular kind of camps that can be from 80 quid a week to 100. And then there are ones that are about 250 quid where the child might be gone from 9 to 3. It's excessive. It's a lot of money that isn't subsidised for 2 months.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's just it won't work for everyone, but yet they fill up really, really fast. The zoo director at the National Reptile Zoo is on the line. James, you run camps.
We do indeed, Anna. Yes. And they can be great. They can be phenomenal, but I mean, it's a double-edged sword, being that there's a, as was said, you know, people use them for
childcare,
child mining, yeah, for childcare facilities, and kind of forget what the camp is for, you know, the personal development for the child and the learning experience. And obviously, you know, people are stuck for those few months of the summer trying to get their kids somewhere, and they want to get them to learn. But yeah, I mean, somewhere in the middle, the child kind of gets lost, unfortunately.
Really? Do you feel that? Because yours is kind of an educational camp. Would that be fair?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And ours is very more science-based. So for those kids who maybe may not be interested in the more sports camps and so on, so they tend to come to us because there's not a lot of places for that. And we don't run a lot of them because they're very resource heavy, you know, so it ties up a lot of resources. But at the same time, we're trying to get, you know, get those kids educated and get that kind of set of things out. But there is, you know, not all parents, obviously, but there is quite a large kind of cohort of parents who just feel it's just somewhere to send a kid that week. And then next week we'll send them somewhere else. And, you know, and obviously they're struggling to, you know, with work and trying to get money in the door. So it's, yeah, it becomes quite messy sometimes.
Yeah. So you have children in there who've no interest, but they've been sent there because there's no other option for the parents.
Yeah, precisely. They just don't want to be there. And, they're, you know, every other camp has been booked out. So, you know, we'll go with this one, or which the first one that comes up. And now, that obviously that's not always the case, but it is definitely an issue that we've seen in the
of
past.
Of course, yeah. We've director of Crofton Motors and father of three, Joey Donnelly, on the line. Joey, is it a fastest finger first situation in your area as well?
Yeah, we'd be the same. We're probably in a fortuitous situation here that one of us is off a little bit more over this summer, so probably a bit of a break. But in summers gone by, we've been incredibly intensively booking all of those camps, as everybody has said there. I think you've covered most bases there. And I think probably, as someone just mentioned there, is that the kid is often the person who's the squeezed middle. Is that we had that issue where for probably 2 or 3 years, where both of us were in absolute full-time, kind of, you know, regular 9-to-5 employment, and we were doing the camps. And actually, one of the most recent year, our oldest, who's now 11, had been in the same camp for the summer with the GAA club, and actually just said, it was like, I'm really tired of the same thing. And the coaches are only, you know, they're brilliant and they're only 16, but if you stack them up on top of them and they've done the Easter camp and then they're going to do the summer camp and then they're going to do the cool camp and plus the other one, it can be quite fatiguing for the kids, you know. Mm. And I think that's the biggest difficulty, and it's probably the bigger conversation, is that Joe Public now can't afford to have a single income family. We're in that crisis that we've all talked about. It's just, you hate to be saying it, but times are so completely different now that we're all forced into this situation. I also coach kids. The amount of extracurricular activities we all have between the swimming, basketball, tennis, rugby, everything. And, you do find that some parents are a bit more liberal in how they use it, as just firing their kid in and the kid doesn't seem to have much interest at all. And then other people who are there to kind of try and gain something. So I think trying to vary it up is a very important thing. And I think looking a little bit further afield than your traditional soccer and GAA, and I come from the GAA background, and I'd be pushing out the camps in our place in St. Jude's GAA Club in Temple Oak. But it's an incredibly difficult thing for a lot of parents who are fully in employment and high pressure jobs, trying to earn as much salary as possible, and really, really under the pump for those 8 weeks.
Yeah, I would say, having used most of the official camps, in particular the Leinster Rugby, the FAI camps, the Cool camps, they are really well run for any parents who hasn't signed their child up in the past. You know, and they tend to get this kit, Joey, don't they? The bag, the jersey, the water bottle, whatever.
And that's the thing, they are the camps themselves, because, you know, nobody accepts poor standards in any of these extracurriculars anymore. We all expect it to be of good nature, because they are quite expensive as well. So
yeah.
I think, to, you know, cover and induce people in, they're making sure that the kids are well kitted out and looked after. The kids are looked after in anything that we've ever done. They've been brilliant, especially in the clubs and the Cool camps and FAI camps. They've been amazing. And I know there's some brilliant multi-sport camps, and, you know, the old summer project and from where we're from, Anna, like, was ran by my mother-in-law, and some of them are probably dying out, but there's a good bit more of those community activities as well, the summer projects, where they might just go on a day trip to down the British Bay, or do those sort of things, which are a little bit outside of the sporting, because I think it all just kind of gets, a lot of it gets focused around the sporting activities and the outdoor activities, where, you know, summer projects and creative work and arts and crafts and that are really, really important too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Joey, and it's a really, and you're coming as a coach, a GAA coach, saying this, you know, we need to think about the arty kids, the creative kids, the ones who don't want to be kicking a ball for 3 or 5 hours every single day across a week or two. An alternative one, I think, Sarah Shearer from the Sense of Wonder Forest School is on the line. Sarah, tell us about your camp.
Morning, this summer on Killiney Hill, and it's a creative camp, and it's kind of it's for those kids who are looking something a little bit of an alternative to the sport, a kind of relentless camp with a big group. It's it's a small group camp. It's a chance for 10 to 15 year olds to slow down, to connect with nature, to create some visual art, do some theatre work, some, you know, music, storytelling. So it's a much slower paced kind of style of camp.
Yeah.
And the idea there, it's just that feeling. I feel like our kids now are so, and I have 2 kids, I have a 9-year-old and 7-year-old. Their lives are just relentless. And they're on the, you know, so many kids now, they're in this digital world. They've got all the pressures of that. They've got this relentless routine with school and hobbies and all the rest of it. And the summer holidays is a lovely opportunity to have a little bit of a break and slow down. But when parents are stuck in that situation where we have to go to work, it's hard to find those spaces where they can have that little bit of break, but still be getting something from it. So that's really where we created this camp, to fill that, to give kids a lot of freedom, a lot of time to slow down, be in nature, and just be themselves and just connect with other kids. But if they want to go off and hang out in a hammock or have a bit of quiet time, that's totally fine too.
Can adults sign up to this lovely, lovely chilled camp, Sarah?
Well, you know,
sounds heavenly.
I do. I am running a course for adults in August. So yeah, absolutely.
Very well spotted by you. That's a good gap there. Do you know, it's a good point that you make, actually, because I'd be looking at your camp going, well, that's for the non-sporty kids. But actually, for the sporty kids, they need a break too, don't they?
Yeah, like my 7-year-old, he's like hockey, cool, like the hurling, the football. He loves the sport, but I find that it's actually lovely to give them the option of another, you know, another choice to explore other parts of their, you know, of themselves, like to slow down, do a little bit of arts and crafts, even just things like climbing a tree with your friends, making a den in the woods. Like, these are things I did as a kid growing up, just running around.
Back to basics.
Back to basics.
Yeah.
And like, you can, it's the choice. I think that's a lot of what kids are missing, is a choice to kind of choose what they see, like the play that they want to do. That's what they need in that moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just read out some of these texts, because there's a bit of a theme pattern forming here. There should be more non-sports camps available. I have a son who doesn't like GAA and we struggle every holiday. Someone else says many camps are essentially part-time and it's a disaster with pickups and drop-offs if you work full-time. That's the point Joey was making as well. It is tricky to find that balance. We find it so hard to get places on camps for our kids. End up having to take extended parental leave last summer, which was unpaid and very difficult. Rebecca, you touched on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do think... Hi, Anna, sorry. I do think that there's a kind of lost conversation about that. I mean, a lot of people think that there's this willy-nilly expectation that either the mother or the father, or if it's a single parent house, it's just going to be off. And that was the point I was making from maybe the end of June until the end of August. And in a lot of cases now, we know schools are finishing the end of May. That is a long old stretch, Anna. And there's this feeling that someone will be there. And also, there's also the child who does not enjoy the camp or is unwell or has to be taken out of it early or doesn't even want to attend it. I remember overbooking my poor child into camps the first summer because I was working in a very busy job, and I think I booked about 6 or 7, and by week 3 there was complete lethargy. She just didn't want to go. She was, you know, not enjoying it, and I don't think it was even, you know, privilege or bad behavior. The child was wrecked, and who's going to take the hit on that? And taking extended parental leave, as we know, is not that simple. HR has to approve that. You have to go through a lot of loops. It's not as simple that it's a given. It's usually bigger companies. Smaller companies cannot afford to do that for everyone. And I think we forget that the money starts to run out very fast, kind of by mid-July.
Yeah.
And then there are families who are expected to take or need to take, you know, a summer holiday, either abroad or domestically, because that's what they've always done. And that's a huge burden and expectation for a child of... I think there's just a lot going on. When I was a kid, and it's not the old back in the day, because I actually had to do a few camps in the summer. It was very good for me. It got me out of the school friend groups into other groups. I learned skills. I have great memories of them. But I do know that it must have been a massive stretch and burden and, you know, collections and driving for my mom. But I do know that I learned things like tennis and basketball, and I made new friends.
Life skills.
But I do think
you built
money,
up.
Life skills.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's not that simple. And I think the sporting point is a great one. I'm trying to do the kind of STEM sciencey ones. They're bloody expensive, Anna.
They
really are.
Yeah.
The artsy ones, the cooking. It's just not that simple. And if you do have somebody at home who is there to entertain their child, which is their responsibility all summer, and I understand that, the child also doesn't really want to hang out with you every single day for 2 months.
But also, I think we all need to remind ourselves that it's okay for, you know, kids to be bored from time to time as well. We all were. It makes you a little bit more creative. It makes you, you know, create some kind of something, build something, you know. Maybe there's no harm in a little bit of that as well. Anyway, thank you to you all for getting in touch with us. That's Joe O'Shea. Who else did I have? Zoo Director of the National Reptile Zoo as well, James, on the line. Rebecca Horan, podcaster and director of Crofton Motors, father of 3, Joey Donnelly. And Sarah Sheeran's camp, by the way, is the Sense of Wonder Forest School, which sounds quite heavenly.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.